Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Dr. Theodore Henderson. Dr. Henderson is president and founder of Neuroluminance, which is bringing revolutionary treatments to the traumatic brain injury, depression, and other brain disorders. And he's here today to help us rethink brain disorders like depression and brain injuries and introduce us to exciting new treatments which actually activate the brain's own healing process. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit more in this episode. So welcome to the show, Dr. Henderson. I'm glad to have you here.
Scott, thanks so much for having me. And it's really my honor to be able to reach out to veterans and maybe offer them some new ways to think about how to help their the struggles that they have.
No, I agree. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. There are so many different treatment options that are available through the VA and other standard places where veterans typically get their care and their treatment. And you're offering something that maybe is a little bit different from what the standard typical treatments that a lot of veterans might be familiar with. And so I wanted to just at least expose people to this possibility for the people who are out there feeling like I've tried everything, nothing is working for me. Hey, here's one more thing. Here's a few more options here that maybe that'll give them some hope and give them another option to give a shot. So, but before we get into all of that, for the listeners maybe who haven't heard of you, not familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, first off, I want to say I am not a veteran. My brother and my father served. I was kept out because of a heart condition. And that event literally changed the trajectory of my life. I was set to be a musician, and I ended up shifting and pivoting into science and then eventually to medicine. And here we are. So I'm both an MD and a PhD. So I was a PhD bench researcher looking at how the brain developed and how growth factors, which were newly discovered at that point, played a role in kind of organizing the brain. And growth factors became more and more important in how we think about the brain as time went by. I then started a residency in radiology. So I was sitting around reading MRIs and brain scans and chest x-rays, got bored. So I switched to psychiatry, and I did my psychiatry residency at Washington University in St. Louis, which is a top level university. And then I did child psychiatry residency at the University of Colorado because I wanted to be close to the mountains, which I can see out my window. But the University of Colorado and I were not a great fit. Let's leave it at that. And so I left academia, gave up my research grants, gave up my research lab, and went into private practice, but later started a research foundation with my colleague. And that research foundation, the Neural Laser Foundation, is dedicated to two things. One, research, and two, to subsidizing the care and treatment of veterans and first responders. So we can't subsidize it 100% for everybody, but we're out there trying to get veterans the care that they need that the VA is not willing or able to provide. So the essence of who I am is I'm a bit of an out of the box thinker. I'm a rule breaker. The idea of Thomas Kuhn's paradigm shifts. This is who and what I am. I read Thomas Kuhn's book when I was an undergrad, and it became my Bible. So I think about how to change things. And when I'm up against something like, oh, traumatic brain injury, there's no treatment for that. Well, I start looking for how can we be innovative and change that. So that's kind of who I am. The result is I have three patents and two patents pending and a research foundation and a company, the Neuroluminance Foundation, which Neuroluminance Company, which is our treatment arm, and then the research foundation. So it's all kind of come together, combining neuroimaging and immunology and physics and some exciting stuff like lasers that we're going to talk about later on.
Well, and it seems like you have such a diverse background, and applying all of the different fields that you went into and almost combining them all together, it's almost like the perfect fit for where you're at right now. We're going to get more into what you're doing now and how this treatment can help out veterans. But first, we're going to cut to a short commercial break, so stay tuned. Calling all passionate patriots. The Patriot Box is a testament to our love for this great nation we call home. Founded by veterans, they believe in celebrating the values that built America: courage, imagination, and unrelenting determination. The Patriot Box curates hand-selected boxes packed with useful, fun, and delightful American-made products carefully chosen to honor our forefathers and embody the spirit of our nation. Join Patriot Box's community of compatriots and receive your very own Patriot Box, a treasure chest of proudly American-made goods delivered right to your doorstep. Each box represents a celebration of American craftsmanship supporting local small businesses that embody the spirit of passionate entrepreneurs across the country. But it doesn't stop there. With every Patriot Box purchased, you're also making a difference. A portion of the proceeds goes to support veteran charities honoring those who have served our country. Join them in embracing the pride of living in the greatest country on earth. Visit the link in our show notes to learn more and get your own Patriot Box delivered with pride. So, Dr. Henderson, in the intro, I mentioned that you're going to help us rethink brain disorders. And there's all sorts of different brain disorders. We talked about depression, TBIs, PTSD, all these different things. And can you talk about how the brain scans of maybe PTSD patients differ from those from people with depression, TBIs, and maybe other disorders that they might have?
Absolutely. So when we say brain scan, we need to start defining what we mean by a brain scan. So CT scans and MRIs are a way to look at anatomy. And quite frankly, the MRI of a dead brain is pretty much the same as the MRI of a live brain, because it's just the wiring. It's just anatomy. So what I'm talking about are SPECT scans, which is short for single photon emission computed tomography. So SPECT is a whole lot easier to say. A SPECT scan is a functional brain scan, and it's a way of looking at how the brain functions. Now, in the brain, neurons, the brain cells, cannot store energy. They need to have energy delivered moment by moment. So the more active a brain cell is, the more energy it needs, and therefore it needs more delivery, i.e. it needs more blood flow, because Uber doesn't go there. So it also needs more oxygen, which is also delivered by the blood. So blood flow to an individual neuron is a one-off of how active the neuron is. If the blood flow is high, the neuron is more active. So with that sort of background then, a SPECT scan is looking at blood flow as a one-off of how active the brain is. And it shows areas of high activity, areas of low activity, areas of normal activity. Now, in the case of PTSD, it's really interesting what happens. PTSD and traumatic brain injury are two diagnoses that the VA struggles to get right, because symptomatically, they are very similar. If you have PTSD, you have sleep problems. You have TBI, you have sleep problems. Same thing with anxiety. Same thing with mood dysregulation. Same thing with memory problems. Same thing with irritability. I mean, the only thing that really distinguishes TBI and PTSD are flashbacks. So beyond that, just on a symptomatic basis, these two overlap by 30, 40%. Yeah. And so differentiating them is an important task. Now, in the brain scan, we're able to look at the parts of the brain that are deep inside, what's called the thalamus and the basal ganglia, the anterior cingulate gyrus. So these are all foreign terms, I know, but these are sort of essential parts of the brain that are involved in mood and anxiety and regulating kind of how we approach the world. And so in traumatic brain injury, what happens is all of those areas are shut down. They're all decreased. as well as the cortex, the part of the cortex that took the hit, that'll be decreased. And often you can see one hit on one side and another hit on the other side, because the big hit causes the brain to slosh and it hits the other side of the skull. So you get a coup contra coup injury. In our veterans who had been exposed to roadside explosions, they have a more diffuse pattern because the shock wave travels through the brain. The brain is a consistency of grape jelly. So you can imagine a shock wave hitting grape jelly. It just goes right through it. And that affects the entire brain. And so in patients who've been exposed to explosive devices, and we had one patient who had been hit eight times. So we saw his brain scan and it looked pretty bad. Now, after treatment, it looked a whole lot better. Now, differentiate that. Everything shut down in TBI with what happens in PTSD. So PTSD is an over-arousal state. And so what happens is the thalamus and the basal ganglia and the anterior cingulate and the insula are all overactive. And so it's night and day on a brain scan. It's like 99% differentiation. There's no error here versus, when we're just looking at symptoms.
So it's interesting that you can take a look at the brain scan and you can identify these differences between like PTSD and TBIs and things like that. And the grape jelly example that you gave, I can picture like it just kind of rippling through that type of consistency of a material. Right. And, the way I've always thought of these things is almost like the old-fashioned telephone operators where they have like one wire going to another and another one to another. And it's like when something big and catastrophic happens, all those wires just get kind of mixed up and you got to like get them back to where they belong. But this example of the grape jelly is kind of a more realistic example of, that consistency of what's actually up there in our brains. So can you talk about some of the treatments for PTSD and traumatic brain injuries and the things that you offer for that those types of injuries?
Yeah, maybe compare and contrast would be a good thing here, because what's the VA do? Not to pick on the VA. Okay, sure. I'll pick on the VA. SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, antidepressants, benzos, which are basically alcohol in a pill, antipsychotics. And here's the interesting thing. We looked at this and people have studied this. If you're a veteran with a TBI, the chance that you're going to be put on an antipsychotic is five times higher than if you're a veteran without a TBI. And I'm not saying antipsychotics are bad. They're great if they're used appropriately. But there's actually animal evidence, that antipsychotics actually are bad in traumatic brain injury in animal models. Using an antidepressant to try and adjust the serotonin levels in the brain is nonsense. I mean, serotonin doesn't have anything to do with depression. It doesn't have anything to do with PTSD. It doesn't have anything to do with anxiety. That was a lie. And that's been proven in large clinical studies and proven over and over again in the case of depression. So the treatments that we're talking about are getting at a fundamentally different process. And that is neuroplasticity, or brain regrowth, brain repair. Because in depression, circuits are lost, synapses are lost. Dendrites, those little tree things on neurons, shrink up and disappear. Goes from being like a big willow tree to being like a pruned rose bush in the winter. So there's a huge difference that can happen in depression. In PTSD, same thing. There is this loss of synapses, loss of circuits. The hippocampus, the part of the brain involved in learning memory, gets smaller in PTSD and in depression. In traumatic brain injury, you took the hit. There are cells that are dead. They are not coming back. Nothing I can do will make a dead cell come back. I'm Dr. Henderson, not Dr. Frankenstein. So, I can work with what's there. I can work with the wounded neurons. I can work with the hurting neurons. I can work with the neurons that are just limping along. And the other thing that's really important about the human brain, or any brain, is the ability of the adult brain to rewire. And so that rewiring is essential to recovery from traumatic brain injury and depression and PTSD and anxiety and post-COVID fatigue syndrome. And you, sure, know, you get the point. So that rewiring or regrowth, regeneration, is that's where these new treatments really make the difference.
And so these treatments that you offer, they are are they in addition to like medications that you were talking about, or are they in place of these types of things?
Well, that's a great question. And the answer is really both. It depends on the individual. We have lots of people who have come to us with traumatic brain injuries. And when we've treated them with what I'm going to call LUMIT, and LUMIT stands for laser unattenuated multi-watt infrared treatment. Or in other words, let's just call it multi-watt laser, or LUMIT for short. The laser, are we talking about Star Trek here or Star Wars? You know? No, laser is coherent light. And so what we're using is infrared light, which is able to activate, as I'll talk about later, regeneration in the brain. So we have patients who have traumatic brain injuries who've come in, you know, their lives are in chaos. They're about to lose their wives, lose their house. They've already lost their job. They can't sleep. They can't think. And they get this treatment, and all of a sudden, all that gets better. Their brain scan gets better. They get their lives back. You know, I can think of one example. The guy who took 8 explosive hits, he's working over at a brewery nearby here as an electrician, doing great. His wife and he are back together. So happy story.
Yeah, and that's great that these things have that that healing power where you can get back to a place close to where you may have been before. I mean, you did mention, you know, in some cases there are, you know, dead neurons that those cells are not coming back. Mm-hmm. And so you may not get to 100% the way you were before, but you can get closer to that by healing what is just limping along, as you said, that isn't, you know, just, you know, giving up on them and letting them wither away and die off too, right? Mm-hmm. You're healing them back to a place where they can be effective and they can you know, help your brain heal, right? I think that's kind of what you're trying to get at.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and I can introduce you to Eric really quickly. Eric had a traumatic brain injury in active duty 32 years before he got treatment. His MRI showed dead brain in parts of his insula right in here. And we treated him. And he was, before that, he was just causing all sorts of trouble. He's showing up at the gate of the Air Force Base demanding to talk to the commander, you know, creating havoc in his community because he was so dysregulated. He was and so unhappy. And so we treated him. That part didn't get better. It's dead. We can't fix that. But all the rest of his brain got so much better. His speech got better. His language got better. He's a poet. And his poetry got better. His gait got better. And his decorum, his ability to sort of regulate his, you know, impulses got better. And so for Eric, he's now doing great. He's up in Boulder, Colorado, living life, doing well. A really dramatic difference from where he was. And he'd been sitting there for 30 years because the VA hadn't done any rehab with him after he got out of a coma and learned how to walk and eat again.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to take another quick commercial break, but when we get back, I want to get more into this and a little bit more of how you can use those infrared light treatment to basically help heal the brain. So stay tuned. Attention military veterans and families. Are you ready to conquer the civilian job market? Monster Resume Writing Service is here to support your transition. Their team of certified resume writers specializes in helping veterans like you. They'll create a custom resume that highlights your military experience, translating it into a language that civilian employers understand. They understand the unique challenges you face, from navigating career shifts to finding the right opportunities. That's why their experts will tailor your resume to your specific career goals, ensuring that you stand out from the competition. They optimize your resume with keywords to match job postings and past recruiters' screening software. Monster Resume Writing Service is dedicated to helping you succeed. Visit the link in this episode's show notes to learn more about how they can help you take the next step in your civilian career. So, Dr. Henderson, I'm trying to wrap my head around the idea of the light, infrared light treatments that you were talking about earlier, and how that can treat the brain. Can you explain a little bit more how that works, kind of the process behind it, and how everyone, how that can help heal the brain as you're using that treatment?
Absolutely. So infrared light is a broad spectrum of light. It's everything from visible light up to like microwave. So there's a lot of wavelengths within infrared light, but only certain wavelengths are important. And they're important because they're able to activate mitochondria. And what are mitochondria? They're the little organelles within inside cells that create energy. And so if you turn on the mitochondria, first thing you get is more energy. So for those watching the video, you can probably see this graphic, but I'll walk everyone through this graphic. Infrared light of certain wavelengths have to penetrate, you know, scalp and skull to reach the neurons in the brain and reach the mitochondria. And once they reach the mitochondria, they're able to turn on the mitochondria and induce a number of things. Number one, they turn on more energy and more oxygen. They also turn on certain genes inside the mitochondria. They have their own genes, like they're their own little organelle, this own little organism living inside of us. But they also send signals to the chromosomes, and they turn on important genes that are involved in neuroplasticity. Now, some of those genes are growth factors, the most important being brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF. Now, BDNF and I are old friends. It was the topic of my postdoctoral research grants that I got from NIH back when I was still a medical student and a resident. So, I've been working with BDNF for a long time. So when infrared light therapy was first introduced to me, I was as skeptical as you. It's like, light, it's going to do something to the brain? What the heck is that all about? But, my good colleague, Jenny Faraday, said, look, read the literature. And the literature was from like places like Harvard. And what they're showing is in animal models, amazing results. You know, these animals, you whack them in the head, you give them a traumatic brain injury. And lo and behold, this infrared light upregulates BDNF, upregulates synapse formation, new circuits are forming, the brain is repairing itself. The lesion is like 50, 60% smaller compared to an animal who wasn't treated with infrared light. So it's like, holy Toledo. There's only one problem. This was all being done in mice and rabbits. You know, no studies were being done in humans. Now, and it was also being done with this very low power infrared light. And remember, we got to get through scalp and skull. And believe me, my skull is thicker than most. So it's like 90 sheets of paper you got to get through to get to the brain, even if you start here at the forehead. So, we have to have something that's powerful enough to get through. And this is what we did at the NeuroLaser Foundation. Is we went into the lab and we figured out how much energy you needed to get through scalp and skull and into the brain 3 centimeters. And we figured out, okay, how do we do that without cooking the brain? This is a bad outcome. So we figured all that out. What the wavelengths were, what the pulse frequency, how much time on, how much time off, how to keep things moving so it doesn't build up, what blood flow does. And we did this literally, the living human tissue, that was me. Wow. We literally used ourselves as subjects to look at living human tissue. and sorted all that stuff out. You know, for example, the human hand is 25 millimeters thick. I know because I measured it and we studied it. And so, you know, this is like, you know, kind of out of the box thinking, right? You really want to know how something works? Do it
right
to yourself. And there's a number of, you know, a number of us in the field who have done things like this. You know, the most famous guy is the guy who figured out that H. pylori causes ulcers. He figured it out by drinking a vial of H. pylori and giving himself an ulcer. You know, sometimes you had to do that in medicine. And usually you had to do that because everyone else is saying, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. And medicine is very slow to change. So in what we're doing with multi-watt infrared light is we're able to get through the scalp and skull and directly into the brain and directly reach those mitochondria and directly turn on neuroplasticity. Now, there is a lot of people who are using this low watt stuff that they used on mice, you know, half watt LEDs. And the weird thing is they get clinical results. So, you know, I kind of badmouthed the VA a little bit earlier, but let's give the VA a break. The VA is working with a group at Boston University looking at these low power LED devices to treat PTSD in veterans. So it's a very small study. You know, LED pad here, LED up your nose, because, you know, your nose, you can get closer sure. to your brain supposedly, but still, you know, you're not, these LEDs don't travel 3 centimeters. But, you know, again, they're getting some modest clinical results. As long as you keep doing it, you see clinical improvement. When you stop, it starts to regress. And this is the difference between these low power devices. And there's a bunch of them being sold on the market. You can, you know, spend $2,000, get a device. Go ahead. But, you know, you're doing it for the rest of your life. With the multi-watt infrared light therapy, with Lumit, we treat our patients, you know, 20, 30 treatments. They go home. They're done. You know, the guy I mentioned earlier, he's over at this brewery as an electrician. We treated him back in 2013. 10 years later, doing wow. fantastic. So the Lumit makes a permanent change, while these low power devices make a transient change.
Interesting. Yeah. And so when you're doing those low powered ones, they're not, I wonder if it's because they're not as intense or not getting far enough into the brain, or maybe a combination of those. But it seems like when you're doing these infrared beams that are getting deeper into the brain, and they're much more powerful, mm-hmm. You know, but not so powerful that they're setting anyone's hair on fire. you know, they're getting into the brain and, you know, able to affect some meaningful change kind of long term, right? It seems like. Mm-hmm. Now, is the 3 centimeters into the brain, is that a, like, where did that magic number come from, and where did and the beams mm-hmm. get in that far? Does it have an effect on the rest of the brain? Because there's more than, you know,
oh yeah,
call it 6 centimeters, you know, from one end to the other, depending on which way you're looking at it. Does it radiate through to the more central part of the brain as well?
Right. Yeah. So 3 centimeters was truly arbitrary. I picked that number out of the, you know, really out of the air, but it's based on anatomy. I mean, from almost any angle, if I can get 3 centimeters in, I can get to most parts of the brain that are clinically important. You know, the brain stems of struggle is right in the middle of the brain, and that's, you know, key for things like Parkinson's disease. But, you know, still our Parkinson's patients are seeing improvement. The infrared light, it does get deflected and refracted. And so, you know, truly, I haven't done the study yet. I want to do the study where I actually look at, you know, with infrared photography, look at what the brain looks like when you put that beam in there, because I'm pretty sure it just lights up everything because sure. it bounces around. So, in fact, it's delivering benefit to the entire brain. And this is one of the beauties of light. You know, so what we're seeing, you know, clinically, you know, we have patients who have depression, and we published this study of a group of patients with depression. 93% of them responded. And, more than half of them responded within 4 weeks. So 4 weeks is 8 treatments. And so if you think about an SSRI, an antidepressant takes 6 to 8 weeks to work, and we're getting results in 4 weeks. And the efficacy or the response rate to Prozac is like 17%. Right. And we're getting a 93%.
And it's even lower when they stop taking it, because it doesn't have the long-term effect the way you were talking about with this treatment, right?
Yeah. I mean, who wants to take a pill every day for the rest of their life? I mean, I take a handful every morning myself, for one thing or another. But, it's like, right. Who wants
that? Yeah, if you don't have to, I would rather
There you go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And in PTSD, PTSD is there's a lot going on in PTSD. There's all this hyperarousal, there's the recurrent memories. And, so for our patients with PTSD, it's been really remarkable. I mean, just kind of shocking. We have one veteran, and I won't say too much about his details because he's asked me not to. But he had carried around PTSD for 49 years. Wow. When the jet planes flew over, we're near Air Force Base, so they do. When the jet planes flew over, he was in the basement sobbing. And this was his life. And, the VA had, let's do some group therapy and we'll put you on an antidepressant. And he actually came to me, to my private practice, to help him with his depression. And so we started working on that. But then this PTSD really became clear that was the root of the problem. And he came and got infrared light treatment. And these are his words exactly. He said, during the sixth treatment, I saw the light, not with my eyes, but I saw the light in my mind. And everything shifted.
That's interesting.
And he's been symptom-free ever since.
That's incredible. I want to get more into this in just a minute, but we're going to take another quick break to pay the bills. But when we get back, we'll get a little bit more into this. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The Camp Lejeune Justice Act allows veterans and family members to pursue compensation for becoming seriously ill from Camp Lejeune water contamination. You've probably come across TV and radio ads from lawyers offering to represent you in Camp Lejeune actions. Beware that they aren't connected with VA and may charge you. These fees may lower your benefits when including payments by VA, Social Security, and Medicare. Members of Congress have described some of these practices as predatory. Regardless of your legal decisions, you should apply for VA benefits. Any move to seek relief under the Act won't influence VA's decision to provide benefits. Learn more at va.gov/Camp Lejeune or call 1-800-MY-VA-411.
So, Dr. Henderson, before the last break, you were talking about this success story that you're having with this one veteran, and you had mentioned a couple that had gone through this treatment and seeing the light, in the brain and kind of just sparked this change. And we've been talking a lot about PTSD and TBI, depression, things along those lines. There are other things though that kind of pop up in people's minds through different traumatic experiences, things like survivor's guilt. And I would like to just kind of see, from your point of view, how does this help people who have that guilt, the survivor's guilt? A lot of veterans have that, they see a friend who was killed or, something happens, and they end up having that survivor's guilt. And how can that be treated as well through this, or can it be treated as well through this?
Well, let's understand a little bit of the neurophysiology of survivor's guilt, because it really has a physiological basis. I mean, all of this stuff does. Sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't. But in the part of the brain that is involved in anxiety, and there's a couple of different areas. One is the amygdala, which is deep inside the brain. It's about the size of an almond. And it dictates everything. And the other area is the insular cortex, which is involved in sort of how we emotionally relate to the world, to the universe, how we emotionally see ourselves. And so in survivor's guilt, and in any anxiety, what happens is that there's this reverberating circuit that gets started. And that reverberating circuit starts to drive the anxiety. And so with survivor's guilt, it's like, I should have done something different. I could have saved him. I could have saved him. If only. And, you know, how do you stop that reverberating circuit? And that's, you know, that's it's interesting from a pharmacological standpoint. I've had really good success with, kind of medications that are off label for the treatment of things like anxiety. For example, gabapentin. Gabapentin is FDA approved for the treatment of pain and the treatment of seizures. Well, pain is what? It's signals coming up small, skinny little axons. And what gabapentin does is it slows down the impulses through skinny little axons. Now, what are those anxiety circuits made up of? Skinny little axons. So not surprisingly, gabapentin slows down that reverberating. So gabapentin has been a really good medication for people with anxiety and, you know, with these reverberating, you know, what if. The infrared light therapy, though, it really gets at this from a different angle. Because, again, it's turning on neuroplasticity. So we're literally rewiring these circuits and the brain does it on its own. It's not like you turn on the BDNF, you turn on that brain-derived neurotrophic factor, the growth factor that drives neuroplasticity, and you stand back. So we have patients, they come in, they get, you know, 6-8 treatments, they go home, you know, because they're flying in from Florida or California or Wisconsin or whatever. And they come back a month later to get the next 6-8 treatments. And they say, "Doc, this is the weirdest thing. I feel better. I haven't been treated in a month, but I've just gotten progressively better." And that's because neuroplasticity unfolds over time.
Right.
Axons grow a millimeter a day. You're not going to make them, you know, grow, you know, 3 inches in a day. They're going to do what they're going to do. And so neuroplasticity unfolds.
Yeah, and the way neuroplasticity, that concept, like you said, it doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't happen, you know, right away. The way it's been described to me is that it's sort of like a stream going through an area, which might eventually become a river, you know, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, but over time. And after years and years and years, you get the Grand Canyon, right? But that takes time. You're not going to expect to just, you know, turn on the floodgates or open up the floodgates and have the Grand Canyon tomorrow. You have to realize that that's going to take a little bit of time. But like you're saying, it's not, you know, over the course of a lifetime either. It does take some time, but it's not, measured in, you know, super long time period if you're looking to affect some sort of change, right?
Yeah. I think what we're doing, though, is we're really turning on something very powerful in the brain, a very powerful mechanism that is untapped. I'm not the only guy working in infrared light. There's a bunch of us. In fact, we have Harvard has a grand rounds for photobiomodulation, which is photo, light, bio, life, modulation, changing. We're talking about all sorts of things. So there are people who are exploring, you know, treating Alzheimer's. They're exploring treating Parkinson's disease with some really good success. Treating autism. We're having great success with post-COVID fatigue syndrome or long COVID. And a lot of people are talking about that. ADHD, we're seeing improvement in ADHD. So in some ways, infrared light therapy is the fifth branch of medicine, as some people describe it. And I think we're just now tapping into the possibilities.
Yeah, and these possibilities, like as you get more and more research or more and more people going through the treatment and seeing what those results look like, probably will lend to more more flexibility in the treatment in terms of what it's going to be treating. You know, you might start off with people with PTSD or depression or things along those lines, and then you start expanding it to other conditions as well, and see how that might help, because there's a lot of stuff that is affected by what goes on up in the brain. There's a whole world of things, and you know, anything from you know, other neurological conditions and things like that. I would imagine that they eventually will start to, you know, see some benefit from that type of thing too. But I want to give a little bit of time here to talk about your nonprofit and how it works to subsidize the evaluation treatment of veterans and first responders. Can you tell us a little bit more about the organization? I know we briefly mentioned it earlier in the episode, but can you tell us a little bit more about it and how people can you know, get involved with it?
Yeah, thank you for that. So the NeuroLaser Foundation is both a research foundation and a service foundation. So on the research side, you know, all of this stuff we're talking about, this is all clinical experience. All right. So I can publish open case series and, you know, medicine will say, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. But where's the double blind placebo controlled trial? Right. Until those happen, none of this is going to be hardcore accepted. That's probably part of what holds up the VA, is that they want to see double blind placebo controlled clinical results. This is why the VA doesn't like spec scans, is they've just not gotten to that point where they're willing to accept them. Even though we have those kind of studies done. So, you know, we need to do those double blind controlled studies. You know, TBI would be the study I'd do first. To do a study with about 60 people is about $2 million realistically. So any wealthy donors out there, let me know. But so that is, you know, part of what we're working on is trying to get funding, et cetera. The second is service. So we understand veterans, you know, want to get better, and that the VA cannot necessarily deliver what we're doing. And so, you know, we're able to provide a subsidization, you know, 30% to 50% of the cost of treatment. And we often can subsidize completely the cost of the spec scan to get the baseline scan. And that's just something we do because, you know, the founder, co-founder and I believe that, you know, veterans served our country. They deserve our respect. They deserve our honor and they deserve our help. And so that's part of what we're doing. And so, you know, we solicit donations from everyone. We're part of the Giving Tuesday in Colorado and Giving Tuesday on Facebook. And those are kind of the ways that we sort of get the money to drive this engine of helping other people.
Yeah. And I think, again, I just want to kind of echo what you're just saying there for anyone who is out there who's listening. You know, this type of research is not cheap and needs the funding. And also the type of treatments are not cheap either. And for the veterans to continue to be able to get access to these subsidized treatments, you know, it requires a bit of funding. So, you know, anyone out there who is willing and able to, you know, donate some money to this organization to help out not only the veterans who are getting the treatments, but also the researchers who are doing the research to determine, you know, is this even a good treatment to do, or you know, how effective can it be for X, Y, or Z condition. You know, definitely, you know, reach out and donate some money to this organization, because without that kind of support, you know, the veterans are going to be just, again, relying on the VA. You know, I don't want to knock the VA. There are a lot of great people working for the VA, but it's a large government organization like any other, and they're limited in terms of what they can do. You know, they have done quite a bit in the last, you know, probably 20 years. It's probably night and day difference between what the VA was at the start of the Afghanistan war to what it is now. But, you know, it's still, there's a long way to go, especially with all the advances like the ones that we've been talking about. And I think that is just kind of a crucial component to understand that the VA is not the be all end all. There are many options out there, and you know, similar to what you're just talking about, there's people out there who want to help veterans, but a lot of times we need the funding for that in order to get it to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
So again, this organization, it's subsidizing the treatment, you know, all of this stuff for the veterans, not 100% in all cases, but, you know, it's making it a reduced cost, for the veterans. I highly encourage people who are out there who feel like they've tried everything. They're still depressed. They still are suffering from PTSD. Their TBI, is still kicking their butt, you know, all of this stuff that you might be struggling with. Try something else. Yeah, you might have to, you know, come up with some funds, might have to travel, you know, a little bit, but a lot of it's being covered. So, you know, definitely check it out. I think that's definitely worth the time and effort to go do that, because like you said, this is a lifetime, you know, change. This is going to help people for the rest of their lives going forward. Right. Not just yeah. a, you know, it's going to help you for mm-hmm. the next week or two, right? So, mm-hmm. well, we're going to take right. another quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about your book real quick and let people know where they can go to find out more information about some of the treatments and things like that we were talking about. So stay tuned. The Hero Company is more than just a brand. It's a force of change. As a veteran-owned and operated company, they stand shoulder to shoulder with our brave servicemen and women. Their mission is to help provide service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD, all at zero cost to them. Every purchase you make from The Hero Company helps fund this crucial initiative. They offer a wide range of products, including jewelry, apparel, keychains, stickers and decals, dog collars, and everyday carry items. It's a chance to wear your support and make a tangible difference. To date, The Hero Company has raised over $1.2 million, but their fight continues. Their goal is to raise $10 million to ensure veterans in need receive the service and companion animals that can change their lives. By buying from The Hero Company, you're not just making a purchase, you're intentionally being a hero for our heroes who need our help now. Join the mission. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/driveon to shop and support our veterans. Together, we can make a heroic impact and honor those who fought for us. So, Dr. Henderson, again, it's been great chatting with you about all of this. I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about your book, Brighter Days Ahead, and mm-hmm. tell us about that book, and then, where people can go to find it and what it's all about.
Oh, thanks for that. So Brighter Days Ahead is sort of a way, it's really written for the layperson, and it's a way to understand, you know, how we've misconceptualized depression. It's not a chemical imbalance. It's not a shortage of serotonin. It's really about this neurodegenerative change that we've been talking about here. That's what leads to depression. As I said before, the hippocampus gets smaller in depression. And then when a person gets over depression, the hippocampus gets bigger again. So this degeneration is reversible. And I use ketamine. We haven't talked much about ketamine today, but I use ketamine as a model. Ketamine, you know, it's an anesthetic, a street drug. It causes hallucinations and dissociation. But it also turns on BDNF in a very powerful way. And so it turns on neuroplasticity. And so, you know, I think a lot of these clinics sort of don't do ketamine right. They do 3 times a week for 2 weeks. So you're packing into 2 weeks, 6 infusions, and the axon only grows a millimeter a day. So you can do the math and see the problem, where you're not going to get, you know, neuroplasticity in 2 weeks. So the way that we approach ketamine is much different. And I explain how that all leads to understanding how the brain changes in depression and PTSD and traumatic brain injury and how we can reverse that. So, you know, I devote a chapter to talking about this infrared light therapy for those who want to understand this a lot better. There's a lot more detail there. I devote a chapter to talking about infections that affect the brain, and which we didn't touch on today. But infections can cause depression. Infections are the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome. Post-COVID fatigue, of course, is infection plus inflammation. So the role of inflammation and infections in the brain is talked about in this book. So the book has a lot of vignettes of patients' experiences. And I think the message of the book is one of hope. And it's one of, if we change the way that we approach these diseases, we're going to get a better outcome and people are going to get healthy and they're going to,
there's hope. That's the message we want to get across to the listeners here. And again, Brighter Days Ahead is the book. I'll have a link to the book in the show notes for the listeners who want to take a look at that book and get a copy of that, figure out a little bit more about the different types of treatments that we're talking about and other things that maybe we didn't have time to talk about today. But for the listeners who want to get involved with this treatment that you're talking about earlier in the episode, where can they go to find out more information about it?
Yeah. So those who want to understand infrared light therapy, multi-watt infrared light therapy or Lumit, go to neuroluminance.com. So neuro, N-E-U-R-O hyphen luminance, L-U-M-I-N-A-N-C-E.com. That's our treatment company, and that has all the information about all sorts of treatments. There's several videos of patients' responses. For those who are interested in the foundation, you want to go to tbi.care, not .com, not .org, .care, tbi.care. And that's the foundation website. There's videos of us talking about the science. There's videos, the veteran I mentioned earlier, he talks about his experience. Other patients talk about their experiences, and there's a lot of information on the science. And through either one of those websites, you can then reach me or my team. If you're looking for treatment, if you're looking to make a donation, and either one of those ways will work.
Well, that's excellent. And I'll have a link to all of these websites that we talked about, a link to your book and the nonprofit and the all the information that we have here. So anyone who's looking for that, it'll be in the show notes. Dr. Henderson, I do appreciate you taking the time to come on and share the work that you're doing to help better the lives of everybody with brain injuries, veterans and non-veterans alike. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on. So thank you.
It's really been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.